As locals describe it, Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana, is shaped like an upside-down hand. Houma, with its 32,000 residents, sits in the palm. The smaller towns of Cocodrie, Montegut, Bourg, Dulac, and Chauvin spread out along bayous that form the fingers, into swampland toward the Gulf of Mexico 30 miles away. Altogether, 100,000 people live in the parish, about 70 miles southwest of New Orleans. A month ago, the western curl of Hurricane Katrina swiped Terrebonne Parish, bringing rain and wind and some flooding. 3 weeks later, Hurricane Rita's fierce eastern curl ravaged and drenched Terrebonne Parish. Then, as the storm moved north, Rita's winds pushed a 9-foot storm surge deep into the parish, where 80% of the land is no more than 3 feet above sea level. The water breached and topped levees, swamping 7,000 homes and forcing many of the poorest of Terrebonne Parish's residents into shelters already crowded with people left homeless by Katrina.
If you look off to the left, you can see homes in their yards that back up to the bayou. All of these homes flooded during the event. The water was actually right up to the road here.
Kevin Voisin grew up in Houma. He works with his father, uncle, grandfather, brother, and cousins at Motivated Seafoods, one of the larger oyster farmers along the Louisiana coastline. Kevin's father, Mike, has spoken with us in recent weeks about the oyster business along the Gulf Coast. Mike was away this past week when we visited Terrebonne Parish, but his family opened their homes to us and showed us around the town and the parish where they make their living and where life is measured by hurricanes. Betsy in 1965, Camille in 1969, Andrew in 1992, and now Katrina and Rita in 2005. Kevin showed us around the Motivated Seafoods plant on the edge of the Intracoastal Canal, where last Saturday hundreds of residents filled and piled sandbags the size of watermelons as the waters rose through the day and into the night.
Now, to give you an idea of how high the water was lapping up to the tops of these sandbags.
And we're about 5 feet from where the water is coming up now, so that water was coming up at least another 3 feet higher.
Correct. Now, they've just cleared for boat traffic. You hear boats going by. They didn't let any boats go through here during the time we were doing this because they would have knocked the sandbags out with that wake.
Neighbors coming out, check us out. Joy Porsche and her husband are cleaning their yard, piling debris at the end of the driveway on the street that divides their clapboard bungalow from the waters of the canal.
Tell us what you had to go through here to keep your home
goodness.
Dry.
Just the community got together at about 7:45 on Saturday. Myself and my little girl, my brother-in-law, and a few of his sons was out here. We didn't know where to start. We just saw, for the first time, we've been living here 45 years, the intercoastal rise up. So we said, man, we have to do something. One lady called the radio station and a TV station, which is HTV here. Within 10 minutes, it looked like red ants from people just around the neighborhood. We didn't need no kind of officials over here. We did it on our own self.
Although the sandbags spared the Motivated Seafood plant and the neighborhood of small homes around it, the oyster beds which supply the plant have been closed by the State Department of Health and hospitals. It's feared that silt and marsh grass stirred up by the storms have settled on millions of acres of oyster beds, suffocating the oysters, killing many, and potentially contaminating others. Testing will be done in the coming week to determine the extent of the damage.
I'm going to have an order of boudin bites and the oyster po' boy. No oysters, yeah, should have known that. Huh? Just going to try to buy you out. Do you have a shrimp?
The Voisins are regulars at Hebert's Cafe for gumbo, catfish, shrimp, and peanut butter pie. Owner Jane Hebert says business has been good since they reopened 2 days after Rita. The men of the Voisin family gather around a large table at the back.
I'm Greg Voisin, Mike Voisin's son. I do sales and marketing right now with my brother Kevin.
And I'm Stephen Voisin, Mike Voisin's twin brother, son of Ernie Voisin.
I'm Jared, Steve's son. Basically what I do is I help my father out with the fleet of boats.
I'm Ernie Voisin, and I'm the founder of Motivated Seafoods. And it's wonderful for a family to be working together.
The Voisins are proud Cajuns. They are big men, mostly over 6 feet, and broad-bodied from a lifetime of hard work on the water. Greg and Jared, the youngest, mostly listen. Steve sees humor that others miss. Kevin is the chief communicator, and they all defer to Ernie, at 78, very much the patriarch.
I was born and raised here in Terrebonne Parish, down Bayou du Large, 15 miles from here.
Ernie Voisin started Motivated Seafoods in 1971.
We are in the seafood business, particularly oysters. We harvest oysters. We grow oysters. We do everything with oysters. We have boats that are working every day. Of course, right now we're shut down because we're not able to fish because of the storm. But on a normal day, we would process around 60,000 pounds.
Seafood brings in nearly $3 billion a year to Louisiana. That pales in contrast with the more than $90 billion from oil and natural gas. But as Kevin says, the first love of the people of the bayou is fishing.
The lifeblood of our town is probably oil and gas. I mean, that's where a lot of the work comes from. That's where a lot of the people do. But the soul of our town, the soul of our community is seafood. Everyone does seafood. I always make the joke that if you have a brother-in-law in a pickup truck in Terrebonne Parish, you're a seafood wholesaler. That's the criteria. Everyone's in seafood. If it's not economically the number one industry here in the parish, it may be the number one industry as far as our identity goes. Today I ordered an oyster po' boy here at the restaurant, and this we don't have any. To a Cajun, that's a big deal. No oyster po' boy is a very big deal.
What keeps you optimistic?
I think what keeps us optimistic is who we are. Eight generations of living in South Louisiana doesn't come easy. For my ancestors, malaria was a big issue. Now it's hurricanes and things like that. What keeps us optimistic is having cleaned up. Is when I was 10 and Grand Isle flooded and we went dug out those houses, but then when I was 15 having a party in the same house. And we've lived in those houses and we've danced on those floors. Hurricanes make us who we are. And it's hard. It's no fun. Sandbagging all day, but once it's rebuilt, it's better, and people are better. People are nice here because you never know when you have to sleep at your neighbor's or when your neighbor's going to be the one to save you from your rooftop.
Rita pushed thousands of residents of Terrebonne Parish out of their homes and into shelters. Across the road from Hébert's Café, about 600 people from New Orleans and from the marshes of southern Terrebonne Parish are living in the Houma Civic Center. Parents and grandparents sit by the front curb and watch as kids while away the time shooting hoops on a makeshift basketball court in the parking lot.
Ms. Tara Williams, please come to the front at the information desk.
Inside, a partition divides the open space of the building's floor. Katrina evacuees live on one side, Rita's victims on the other side. The people of Houma rushed to help when the federal government and nonprofit aid organizations failed in the early days following Katrina. The evidence of haphazard giving is everywhere. A crazy quilt of blankets and sheets, dress beds of all sizes, inflatable mattresses and cots. Wearing shorts and t-shirts, bathrobes, and baseball caps, everyone wanders around with nothing to do. They welcome the chance to tell their stories.
My full name is Swin Henry, and we live in Chauvin. My home got destroyed with the wind and the damage and the rain.
And what have you been having to do to pull your life back together again, find yourself a place to live?
Well, we didn't do that yet because we're waiting to try to get some help from FEMA or Red Cross.
And do you want to move back to Chauvin?
I want to really try to fix back my home and move back because that's our livelihood and our life where we've been at.
My name is Joseph Matisse. I live down in Chauvin. The only problem I have is I've never been homeless in my life. I'm on Social Security. I'm disabled. I'm legally blind. I originally come from Hornville, Louisiana. I moved down here. My wife's from Montague and all the family's around here, so we kind of moved away from over there, changed of life, and I don't know if that was a good idea now, because now I have nothing down here except my children and my wife.
Are you getting any help here at all?
Well, we got a cot to sleep on, we have blankets, and a few pieces of clothes. If I can find some shoes to fit me, I'll probably have a pair of shoes too.
Early the next morning, Steve and Jared Voisin go out into the bayou to check their oyster beds for the first time since the floods of Hurricane Rita.
We're on Bayou du Large, south of Houma, approximately 25 miles. We're at the very end of the road where the crab boats, the oyster boats, the shrimp boats come in at. We're going to go to Sister Lake, they call it, to check out the oyster resource. See what condition it's been left in. Oh, Lord, look at this over here. Is that a cow?
The human death toll from Katrina and Rita in Terrebonne Parish stands at 6 people. But on the bayou, in the water, and along the banks, death is everywhere. Freshwater fish, killed by salt water, float with their gills wide open as they had gasped for a last breath. Cattle carcasses and the bodies of dogs dot the shoreline. The marsh grasses and trees are all brown from the salt water soaking in their roots. For Steve and Jared, the question this morning is how many of the oysters in the beds are dead. They stop the boat in a stretch of water, looking out toward the gulf surrounded by miles of marsh. Jared drops a dredge, and Steve edges the boat forward, dragging the bottom. Jared pulls the dredge back into the boat.
We got some drag. Ah.
See, this is an oyster. It's still alive. Uh-huh. Thank God for that, but you can see where the mud...
Oh, yeah. They've really settled in the silt there and the grass.
It may kill these oysters. Oh, this one's actually dead. If you want an oyster, here you go.
No, I don't like mine with mud sauce.
This is a live oyster here.
So is it good news you're seeing here, or bad?
Well,
news?
It's kind of bad news with the grass. It could be devastating for this lease.
Just make a big turn. A little slower.
Jared dumps out the dredge, Steve revs the engine, and guides the boat out into Sister Lake to try another spot.
All right. Yeah, that looks good. Okay. We got oysters. These are big oysters. But they're clean here, so thank God we got... You know, it's not all bad. This is good news because it tells us, just on a real preliminary check, that not everything is gone, you know, which you're going to hear tales of that. But what we saw the first 3 or 4 dredges is the real damage. There'll be a lot of work to be done in these areas. Just hopefully that the federal government will come in with funds to help clean off the areas. And so, but from what I just see here, I would say a lot of boats are going to have to find something else to do. Yeah, there's no doubt. Of the 35 that we ended up with before the storms, I would guess we'll go down to about 15.
What will happen to those 15 boats that aren't going to be able to do this anymore? Can they, I don't know, not quite retool, but are there other things that they could do to make a living?
Well, a lot of them are seamen, you know, they can crab for a living, which the crabbing shouldn't be too affected, but I don't understand it as well as they do oysters. I think the shrimping, because of all the garbage on the bottom, is going to be impacted real strong. A lot of them will go into the oil company, try to get work there. A lot of them may get into construction because of all the construction jobs that should come available. So I think they'll find something to do until the resource gets back and going. But, you know, it's horrible. I mean, I would, and it may happen on that scale to have us go do something else, another storm, not this one. And that would just tear me up because this is my life. I wouldn't want to do something else myself.
Well, Steve Wazan, good luck to you. Thanks a lot for taking us out.
All right, anytime.
We'll be visiting with the Wazan family and the people of Terrebonne Parish in the coming months as they rebuild their lives and their community. To see photos from Terrebonne Parish, please go to our website, npr.org. Our story was written by Stu Seidel, produced by Ned Wharton with help from Claudine Bade and Elaine Heinzman, and our sound engineer was Rob Byers. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.